This is what I'd love to say. This is what I want to celebrate today, is that fact. God, by God's design, He has made it that we are not we're different than you ladies. Thank goodness. Thank God. Let's put it that way. I thank Him. My wife she is, your wives are wonderful too. It just is. However, the Father still is there by design. I've really recognized something about fatherhood. Who does the devil hate above all else? Just take everything. His hatred is completely towards the Father, which is the Father God. So why would he not in turn also hate the fathers of the home? Where would we be without the Father in this universe? Would I be here? Where am I going to be when I die if it wasn't for the Father giving the gift of the Son? But it started with the Father. Of course the devil's going to hate it. But today I want to actually just look short for a short amount of time here. Let's turn to Luke 15:11-24. This is the story of the prodigal son. Leroy, if you want to come on up. I've asked Leroy, I'd love to ask some of the young people to come up to the reading of the scripture. You just did stand, so let's not do that. But Leroy has consented to read Luke 15:11-24. So when you get there, can you read that? Just step up close to it.
Okay, Luke 15:11. Okay. And he said to a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Give me a portion of good things that fall unto me," and he divided unto his living. And not many days after, the younger son had gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And then he spent all, and when he had spent all there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And then he joined himself to a citizen of country, and he sent him into the fields to feed the swine. And then he fain have filled his belly with husk and swine, and he did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came and gave himself, and he said, no. And when he came to himself, and he said, "How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare? I perish with the hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thine son. Make me one of thy hired servants." And he arose and he came unto his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and he ran off, fell onto his neck, and kissed him. And his son said unto him, "Father, I have sinned against thee and against heaven, and in thy sight I am no more worthy to be called thy son." But the father said unto his servants, "Bring forth thy best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and put shoes on his feet. And his father hithered, and the fatted calf, and killed it, and said, Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead, and he is alive again. He was lost, and is found." And they began to be merry.
Thank you. We told him that he's going to have the first couple of minutes of remarks, and he didn't think that was the greatest idea. So, why am I looking at something, a story like this that strikes fear into every father's heart? We're not looking at the prodigal son this morning. We're looking at the father. I've always been really been fascinated with this father, and there's so many things that when I started looking of that this or qualities that this father has. So if you're going to be a good father, if you're a father who's going to be the greatest predictor of your children's success, there's a few things that we can learn from this father. The first thing I want to look at is he was present. This father was in his child's life. He was a part of feeding him. He was his provider. The thing about being present is this. You cannot father if you're not present. Even physically present. I remember many years ago I was young, and my father, when I was about 6 or 7 years old, up to that point had been a farmer. He was on the farm all the time. And then my father actually started a business doing excavating, and he was gone a lot. And I did not have a particularly close relationship with Dad, but I remember that bothered me. Dad wasn't there when you really needed him for something. Should have he stayed at home just because of me? No, not necessarily. But that struck me in my memory bank that I have as missing my father's presence. If you're going to be the father in your home, you have to be present. The other thing that I find interesting about a good father that is present is being present in your children's spiritual life. This is not just taking an interest, but being present and listening to them. I have heard father or children, young people, that has said when they were asked, who's your person? Who's your go-to person? Who's your favorite person to go to open up to? And has always really done my heart good when I hear young people say, my dad, he has my back. And this is also the dad that typically, the one that really sticks in my mind was the one that the father was definitely, I would have said, the disciplinarian in the home. But where did the daughter go running to when she needed somebody to give her solid answers and be honest with her? It was straight to the dad. This father was present. He was also the provider. Verse 17, when you look at verse 17, it says, and he came to himself, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish from hunger or with hunger. A man who does not provide for his family is worse than an infidel. And I've often looked at that. It doesn't mean that you do not, it does not mean you have to be wealthy. It means that you care. I have cared enough to get out of bed every morning, not to buy another fishing boat, because I couldn't afford it for many, many years, but to feed my family. That was God given to me. Verse 12, I want to look at that for a second. He said, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. This is where the father was wise. He knew when to leave his son, or in our time, when to leave them go. He knew the decision that his son was making was the worst decision that he could have possibly. This was the father's worst nightmare coming true right here. Worst nightmare. I have raised this boy, I have taught, I have trained him, I have given him the tools, and I'm supposed to give him my money that I work for with my business, and for me being the provider, I was present. I did everything that I could, and this child wants, or young man, wants his money because there were signs of this happening before it ever happened. The father probably has seen signs, but sometimes the hardest thing we can do as fathers is have the wisdom enough sometimes to leave our children to release them. The wisdom of that kind of shakes me sometimes. I'm a mother hen. Father hen. Sorry about that. Father rooster. That sounds even worse. Let's go back to the father hen thing. I was the person in my family that was actually always standing in the front porch listening for a little Honda Civic, which my son back there was driving, not very slowly because it sounded like a chainsaw going up along the creek at 11 o'clock at night because I wanted him through the town before he came home. That was me. As soon as I heard the car, I went to bed. The That was my heart. And when you see someone who goes against what you have taught, this is the father's worst nightmare. And having the wisdom to release your children is the hardest trip that I as a father have ever had to do. Am I wise? I wouldn't say so. Would I do some things different? Obviously. Verse 20. This is another really big one. And he rose and came to his father. When he was a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. He never let his heart harden towards his children. Sometimes your children are not going to like you as a dad. Teenagers can do that sometimes. Older children can do that sometimes. He never let his heart harden towards his son. How should I say this? He never took it so on the blame on himself that he became angry towards his son and would not go towards him. I see his softness in verse 20 here. He was a great way off and his father saw him. That means he was watching for him. He was looking for him. I think every day he stood out and he looked towards the road and where's my son? This is a man who is living a life of brokenness. Not broken necessarily because the son is gone, but he also was a person who loved his son that much that he stood there and watched daily. The vision of that would be something probably a movie should be made of. And he ran and fell and he kissed him. Verse 22 and 24. I'm going to wrap up on this. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring in his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Instant forgiveness. Not making him prove himself. Instant forgiveness. The last two thoughts about not hardening your heart goes hand in hand with instant forgiveness. A good father is going to forgive your children regardless of what they did or did not do. You will love them unconditionally. I look out this church here, and the church at large. And I have a lot of hope because I see this happening quite a bit here, even here in church. Why? Because when one of your children needs help, you're watching. This morning, talking about a parent's love. During Sunday school, Kelly, I'm going to pick on you for a second. Her young child has learned how to crawl. So he was crawling up through the middle here. And the daughter, Dagny, goes out and grabs him by the back legs and just drags him back across and through. But I noticed something. Dad was up here talking. The parents love as the mom was watching. She's seen it. Well, this is, you're very aware. There's a lot of aware fathers here in this house this morning. God bless you guys. Because you have, I believe, somewhere learned from fathers, and if you didn't, you actually paid attention to other fathers or had a father figure in your life. And I have a lot of hope for the church, not just this church, but church overall, because there is much more and more, I believe, of people and the church taking note that fathers are to be, we're here. And we are important. And God has designed you, no one else. God has designed us the way we are. He has given us the responsibility as his dad Because that's just how God is. He has done it for us. And I want to bless you. And we'll do that a little bit later. I want to change the service up a little bit going forward. I have a little bit of a, I have a treat. I guess if you want to call it a treat. I asked four people to honor or pay tribute to their fathers in their life. And then gave them a specific kind of a charge with that. But the two things, three of the different things of fatherhood that I, or type of fathers that I want to pay tribute to, which paying tribute to, I want to look at that word just for a second about the thing of paying tribute. It's not paying taxes to the father. It's paying tribute is a meaningful way to publicly acknowledge, honor, or praise someone's achievements and character. We could all stand up and spend 5 minutes. We would be here for hours paying tribute to our fathers, who have good dads or decent dads. My dad has laid the foundation for so much of my life. But two of the people, which I've asked Leon and then also Tony to come up in that order and give tributes to their fathers, mainly because of these two fathers, because they are the founding fathers of our church. And then afterwards, I have asked Danny to come up and pay tribute to the fathers that are not with us anymore, that have died and went on. And then the third one, I've asked Steve Delagrange to come up and share on the adoptive father. And we have some of those in the house as well. So if you want to come on up, Leon, and then you guys follow in that order from there on out. And then I'll come up and I'll close. Thank you.
When Paul asked me to give a tribute to my dad, I said, sure, thinking that it would be easy. I found out pretty quick when I started thinking and trying to condense into thoughts in a few minutes, you know, my memories, experiences, plus the appreciation I have for my dad. I found that it wasn't so easy to do that in just a few minutes. Dad, you've been the person who has had the biggest influence on my life and who has helped shape me into who I am today. Thinking back over my childhood, one thing that stands out was spending time with Dad. He was always patient with me, and he never made me feel like I was a bother. When I was very young, there were so many good memories of being with Dad, such as riding in the wagon when he was picking ear corn, or going to work with him when he was in construction. My job was to keep the job site cleaned up, and I got paid the big bucks, 25 cents a day. When I was 11, Dad decided to get back into farming so that we could work together, and I am so grateful that he did. I treasure all the time we've had together, and then to be able to watch him work with and spend time with my sons. I never knew a time that Dad wasn't in the ministry. And looking back, it amazes me how he balanced family, church, and work all those years. He did a great job with that because I can honestly say I don't ever remember resenting the church for all the time that it took Dad away from the family and the farm. He still always made time for his family. Dad, you taught me to work. You taught me to be honest and to keep my word. You taught me to treat others the way I would want to be treated. And you taught me the importance of a good reputation and to guard that because it can easily be destroyed. The list is long of the things you taught me. The list of the things you tried to teach me and I didn't learn is probably even longer. Looking back over all the things you taught me and tried to teach me, they can all be summed up in one thing. You were reflecting our Heavenly Father to me. I believe that is the highest compliment that can be given to a father. And now that I am a father, I realize how difficult that can be. I think I fail most days at that with my family. And to sum it up, I am forever grateful God chose you to be my dad, and I am proud to be called your son. Thanks, Dad. I love you.
Well, Paul called me a little over a week ago and asked. He said 5 minutes. And I thought, how do I, like Leon said, how do you condense your whole life into 5 minutes of honoring your dad? But as I was thinking, I was like, what do I say? What do I share? And there's two things that came to me about my dad and that I think have made the biggest impact, you know, in my life. And the first one is that he loved me. And the second one is that he loves Jesus. And I want to talk about each one of those separately just a little bit. So I see a lot of familiar faces out here. I see a lot that I don't know. I met my dad in 1972 when I was born. Don't remember that, but about the same time this church was started. So grew up in this church. My dad became a minister, I think, when I was around 8 years old. Not 100% sure, but grew up here, and but it was Paul was reading of the prodigal son, and that was kind of my story. I mean, I went to church and stuff, but there was a lot of things in my life that wasn't right, and didn't meet Jesus on the Damascus Road until I was 32 years old. And as I look back on my life and those years, There's something just before Paul ever said anything, probably a month ago, I was talking to my wife, and I said, there's something that I realize, and it's that my dad always loved me. And there's a lot of things I could share with that, but he let me make some mistakes. I remember clearly him giving me advice about something financially, and he said, I wouldn't do that. It's not wise. And I did it, and it wasn't wise. And, but he always loved me. And as Leon said, it reflected the Father. And I have not the problem that some people do in seeing God as a loving Father. Now, you know, you kind of mentioned that some people, it's hard to see God as a loving Father because of how their earthly father was. And my father was not like that. When I knew that, you know, I disappointed him or I wasn't living right, he still loved me. And I want to thank you for that, Dad. And it's been a challenge to me and for my own children. And the second thing is his love for Jesus. And as I was thinking about this week, and I was like, Lord, give me, I love to have examples from Scripture. And I was like, give me someone who my dad is in Scripture. And I just heard Nicodemus. And I was like, it's kind of negative. It doesn't sound very good, you know. But as I think about my dad's story, and it's true. And so Nicodemus starts off in John chapter 3. And he comes to Jesus, and we know who Nicodemus is, right? He's a preacher, and he does everything right. And he comes to Jesus, and he asks Jesus a question, and Jesus challenges thinking. And, you know, Nicodemus went away scratching his head. And you come to about John 7 or 9, somewhere in there, and he shows up again a little bit. And there he's kind of defending Jesus. And the Sadducees and the Pharisees are trying to trap Jesus, and Nicodemus is kind of standing up for him. And then you come to the end of John, and Nicodemus is one who's going to take Jesus' body off the cross and to go bury it properly. And as I look at my dad's story, you know, he went through a lot of things financially, his health, children, you know. And I see, I don't see Nicodemus as in a negative view. I see him positive. He came to Jesus. Jesus challenged his thinking a little bit. And Nicodemus, I believe, became a disciple of Jesus. It doesn't say that. But, and that's what my dad, I feel that dad had some questions that he came to God with. And it took, and God addressed those to him. And dad sat there and kind of scratched his head a little bit. But, you know, he didn't walk away. You know, the rich young ruler walked away from Jesus, and it doesn't say that he came back. And Nicodemus did. And something I really enjoyed this past almost 2 years now, my dad built a shop up by us, and he's been there a bit and come in and eat lunch with us. And almost every time he comes in, he's like, oh, hey, I want to tell you something that I read this week. Like, you know, I read, did you ever see this in John? Or did you ever, you know, and it's just every time. And, or what about this book? I read this book and, wow, it really made me think. And I see his love for Jesus in that he wants to know him more and more every day. And I want to be like that. Dad, I thank you for being a loving dad. I thank you for following Jesus well, and I love you.
Tony said that he met his dad in 1972. My dad told the story that he remembers when he was born, the dog barking when the country doctor drove up the drive. So, he was full of wisdom and truth, right? A tribute to fathers who are no longer with us. I practiced this and I didn't get emotional, so. All the words have been said. All the deeds have been done. All of us who have lost our fathers are left with a few mementos and many memories. Their chapters and stories have been written. Their successes, as well as their failures, are past. What are we going to do about it? I was asked to give a tribute to the fathers who are no longer with us. My own father passed away. For some of you that are new, my own father passed away in 2019 after battling brain cancer for nearly 3 years. If your father is no longer living, you know the ache. We can no longer speak to them. Ask their advice or see the twinkle in their eyes. We're left with the memories. I was blessed to have a good experience with my dad, a good father. One of my favorite memories was his advice when I asked him whether I should stop in Napanee and visit Dene for the first time, unannounced. And I was talking with all the females in my life, and I realized that I hadn't talked to my dad. And I also knew exactly what he was going to say, or at least I knew. I didn't know exactly what he was going to say, but I knew what he would say. He didn't disappoint. I asked him if I should stop and visit Dene for the first time. He said, I would stop and I would enjoy it. So, if you had a father that left a good example, be thankful and recognize a job well done. Elizabeth Elliot once said that we need to have godly heroes. And I think the men who did well in their God-given roles as fathers can merit similar recognition. In a group this size, there are many different responses and experiences between fathers and their children. Some of you may not have had the privilege of having a good experience with your father, whether that came from neglect or maybe something more. Your memory of your fathers is not a pleasant one. A father's role is to smooth out the path through sacrifice and hard work, making it easier for his children to walk. And you've also heard the saying that your father is the only person who is excited when you do better than he did. I know that's true because my dad told me the same thing. But what if you didn't experience that kind of sacrifice? You too have a response that you can give to the man that you called father. If you can't honor him with a good word, you can forgive him. And in doing so, forgiving him, you will be imitating your heavenly Father. The only thing that we have today, or the only thing that we can do today, if your father has passed on, is to live out our response to them. We can repeat the good examples that they left behind. And also, we can acknowledge their humanity and failures that they may have presented. Repeating the good and forgiving the failures is the best way to honor their memories. Though we miss them deeply, we are not left without a father. We now have a heavenly Father who calls us his own. He is perfect in love and doesn't have the shortcomings that every one of our earthly fathers had, and that somehow we inherited as well. God the Father has, from the very beginning, expressed his compassion for mankind in terms of fatherhood. In Exodus and Deuteronomy, God commanded the care of the fatherless and the widow. We can carry forward the best of our earthly fathers while also experiencing the best love and care that there is as our Heavenly Father watches over us, never sleeping and always meeting our needs. So today we thank every father who tried and sacrificed and loved, and we honor you and appreciate the blessings you created.
Paul asked me to speak about adoptive fathers. And I guess I don't know the difference. But I did have to think about the example that God is to us There's both sides there. He had a son, and he also made a way for us to be adopted into the family. So it's one thought I had. The other thought I had was my father had a choice to raise me. He didn't have to take me in. And Tony, you talked a lot about love, and there's never a doubt that you love me. I think back to the time when I hadn't been with you very long. My mom came back. Seemed like I was going to be leaving again. And I remember you standing out by the road. And you just leaned up against the telephone pole, put your head in your hands, and you just bawled. And that memory has stayed with me as a reminder of your love for me. And like you said, Tony, it's unconditional love, because I know I didn't always do everything right. I can never thank you enough for accepting me as your son. I never felt like I wasn't your son, never felt not accepted. And those feelings, as I was thinking about this, they even go back to Grandpa Swartz. And I never felt not accepted by the whole family. And I think everyone's experience can be different, too. And I guess I'm sharing my experience, Paul. You have personal experience with it, too. And I know there's others in here. I did not have a bad experience. I felt like I had an amazing childhood. I felt like I had parents that loved me. And another thing that crossed my mind is one day a year enough for me to express my appreciation? We're told to honor our parents. And as I was thinking about what to say or whatever, and I thought, I really need to do that more often. I think it's something that we can work on. Because someday we'll be here at Danny's place. And, you know, he said, it's all been said and it's all been done. And I guess I don't want to get to that point and feel like I should have said something or should have done something more. Some things that I have learned from my dad. I'm saying that maybe I haven't implemented them as well as he has. But contentment. And it's something that I've talked about before. But those of you that know my dad know that he has lived on the same 1 acre for as long as you've known him. He has a lot of the same things that he's had for years. He has demonstrated contentment in a way that I don't think anyone can fault. Along with the contentment is consistency. Those of you that have known him for a long time knows he still combs his hair the same. And a lot of things are just the same. He has demonstrated consistency to me. And confidence. And by confidence, I don't mean arrogance or anything like that. But confidence to do the right thing, no matter what other people are thinking. One thing, Dad, that you've said a couple of times is that the truth does not need any defense. If you have made a decision and or are accused of something, if you have made that decision in truth, or if you have in your heart, you know what you have done was true, you don't need to defend that. And I've appreciated that thought over the years. Dad, you've taught me a good work ethic. One of the first big jobs that comes to my mind is splitting and stacking wood. We'd get a big old pile of wood out there and to split it and stack it. And there is just not much more satisfaction than getting to the bottom of that pile and looking in the woodshed and seeing a nice stack of wood. So thank you for that. You taught me the importance of taking time with our families. And I think about all the times that we played ball. Seems like it was once a week at least we would go out to the yard and play as a family. I guess I want to thank you, Dad, for sharing everything with me as a son. I could not have asked for a better father. I want to thank you for sharing your wisdom, for all the burdens that you carry quietly, and for all the sacrifices that you made for the family. So, like I said, everyone's experience is different. I don't know. Hopefully everyone could have as good of an experience as I did. And I love you, Dad. Thank you for everything you've done.
There's one note that I heard all morning, but these four guys, and all morning, but these four guys, is their dad is their hero. And that's awesome. I want to have another, just a small word. I know it's getting late. For some of us who've had dads that struggled, and you didn't have a great relationship with your dad, do this. And I know it works. Ask me how. Forgive him and honor him for who God has made him in your life. Look at his good points, and sometimes by forgiving his bad points, relationship can be restored. That is absolutely beautiful. It can happen. Again, ask me how I know. The other thing is, too, if you're a person who struggles with honoring your dad, sometimes find someone who is leadership. Doesn't have to be a married man, but it should be a man, especially if you're looking for a father figure. If you're a single person or a person who is even older, be willing to be a father figure to someone who needs one. The heart of the Father, God the Father, he has pity and protection for two major people, widows, fatherless children, fatherless people. What I want to do this morning, one last thing before we close up, there's three different components to this. If you're a father, want to be a father, or are willing to be a father figure in someone's life, or sometime would like to be a father, basically if you're a male, stand. If you're a man, young people, unless you don't want to be dads, sometime, maybe, a long time away from what your dad would say. And this is what I want to do. Look at these, the men that God has created for us. This is the leadership material in our homes, which is the leadership material in our church. Some years ago, I had a man come up to me. We were having a meeting, had to do with our youngest son. And all of a sudden, he stands up and he walks over, lays his hand. It was either on my shoulder or my head, I'm not sure which, and pronounced a blessing on me. Just spoke a blessing. We hear people cursing you or saying bad things to you. That is the real thing. It can actually happen. However, one thing that we as Christians don't do enough is pronounce blessings by the speaking of the word on each other. And this is what I want to do. So let's just close your eyes. Everybody, close your eyes. I'm going to speak a blessing on you. May you men and fathers and even the people who don't have fathers have the faith of Abraham, the meek leadership of Moses, the patience of Job, the faithfulness of Joseph, Holy Spirit fire of Apostle Paul, and the courage of Peter. Be filled with the Spirit of the Father and the Son, and let this bear fruit in your families. We ask this by the power of the blood of the Son of God. Now everybody else will stand, please, and we'll just dismiss. God, we thank you so much for fathers. God, we thank you that you're a father who is perfect. God, we can look to you as a father, not just in our lives, but in this church. God, you are a God who loves us deeply. I've only started to realize how much your whole being is love. And when you look down on your children, you see the apple of your eye. And God, we thank you so much for that. God, we thank you for these fathers. Be with today. We just pray especially for fathers and fathers-to-be. We just pray a special blessing on them today. And we just pray that you would fill them with your spirit and your wisdom, God, because we need your help. And only by looking to you do we know the perfection. Thank you so much for each father like the fathers we have had, and pray, God, to comfort for the people that their fathers have passed on. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. And you are dismissed.